So I know everybody has very busy lives. This is characteristic of America now. If you're not overwhelmed by your life, you feel like you don't have one. So we try and keep ourselves excessively busy so that we have something to complain about, so that we can be like everybody else. So I think hello. Yes, we have a hard time getting away from it all, don't we? I think very often we don't really, we aren't aware of the preciousness of the opportunity to listen to the Buddha's teachings. You know, we're like so busy in our lives, going here, going there. Our minds are so full of things. And our priorities in life tend to center around what seems important in this life. Okay? So we need money, we need material possessions, we want to spend time with our family, with our friends, go to entertainment, to spend time with our hobbies. Okay, most of the things that we take interest in tend to center around the things that give us pleasure right here and now. But those things don't last very long, and we have to work very hard to get them, and they don't always leave us terribly satisfied. Yeah. What do you think? Do you in general feel satisfied with your life?
Uh-oh. She's not supposed to ask questions like that.
Yeah. So this is something good for us to think about. How satisfied do we feel with our life? What really are we doing? I mean, we keep ourselves extraordinarily busy. But why and for what? And what do we have to show for it at the end of the day? You know, besides a paycheck and some bills, which kind of balance each other out. Yeah. I think that this is actually quite an important question, because it's very easy to go through our life simply living on automatic. Yeah. Get up in the morning and you stop thinking. You just do what you think you should be doing. Okay? And so how much do we really think about what we're doing and make a conscious decision to do it? And how much do we just let things carry us along? Do we live on automatic? Do we live lives that we think other people think we should live? Yeah. Because we're very conditioned, you know, we're conditioned a phenomena. We feel like we're individuals, but actually we're quite conditioned. And so how much of what we do we do because we think other people want us to do it? But we haven't really asked them. But, you know, everybody expects us to go to work. Everybody expects us to do this. Everybody expects us to do that. So we just kind of go through life and do it. But do we really think why? You know? And for what purpose? And what really the meaning of our life is? So I think these are quite important questions. You know, we might have thought about them when we were little. Those of you who are my generation, remember that, I forget what it was, but there was this one album everybody used to listen to, and then there was the quote, "What is reality?" Do you remember that? You don't remember it?
Fireside Theater?
I don't know. So it was something. But it was, yeah.
So the big question, what is reality? You know, and then they went on to the next thing. But it, you know, it's an important question, and to really think about these kinds of things. Because why is it important? Because our life doesn't last forever. Okay? I mean, we're going to die sometime. And so at the time of death, when we look back over our life, how are we going to feel about what we've done in our life? How are we going to feel about the choices that we made and what we did and what we didn't do and how things turned out? Now, do we ever really think about our life in those terms of what's it going to be like when it's time to die and we're looking back over what we did in our life? Or do we spend most of our life just trying to ignore the fact that we're going to die and avoid death? But, you know, we have these terribly busy schedules and we're always saying, I have to do this and I have to do that. But basically the only thing we have to do is die. Everything else is optional. Don't you think? Yeah? I mean, isn't dying the only thing that's a given in life? Yeah, that's the only thing we have to do. Everything else is 100% optional. But we describe our life as a series of have-tos. We don't describe our life as choices that we make with death as the only have-to. We describe our life as have-tos. I can't come to Dharma teachings tonight. I have to watch television with my child. I'm sorry, I can't go on retreat. I have to go to my third cousin once removed's wedding. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't do this. I have to wash the dishes. Now, I mean, it's quite interesting how we describe our life as all these have-tos, as if someone else or something else is forcing us to do different things. We have to do it. And I think when we describe our life as have-tos, when we use the expression, I have to, da-da-da-da-da, that what we're doing is disempowering ourselves. I think it's much wiser to say, I choose to do this. And then what that does is it puts the responsibility on us to choose wisely. We can't go through life just saying, I have to, but I choose to. Okay. That sometimes gets a little bit uncomfortable because it's much easier to attribute the things we do to have to as if somebody else is making us instead of I choose to. But I think this is really empowering, and it really makes us think more deeply about what we're doing and why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm choosing to stay home and help my child with their homework. Well, if I'm choosing to do that, then I should really put my heart in it. You know, and really help my kid with their homework and not wish I were off doing something else. Or maybe if I could go to Dharma class and I know my kid can do their homework, but I'm just using I have to help them as an excuse not to go to Dharma class so you don't have to hear somebody like me push your buttons, then, you know, we have to, you know, choose. And, you know, I'm choosing to do this, I'm choosing to do that. It makes us think more about what we're choosing and why we're choosing to do it. Okay? So I think that can be maybe a good mindfulness practice to watch how you describe your life. to other people. Watch how you describe your life to yourself. And be aware how many times you use the words, I have to. And just, you know, because people will say, oh, I have to go to work tomorrow morning. Don't you all feel that? I have to go to work tomorrow morning? I have to, right? But do you have to? Don't you really have a choice whether to go to work? There is a choice, isn't there? I mean, there's a consequence of not going to work. I'm not saying there's no consequence of it. There's a consequence to not going to work tomorrow. But you're choosing to go to work tomorrow. Or you're choosing not to go to work tomorrow. And there's a consequence to that. Okay? So some consequences we may not like. We say, oh, I have to do something else. So I avoid that consequence. But I think it's very helpful, you know, to really feel that sense of, no, I'm choosing to do this and I'm choosing to do that. And why am I choosing these things? Yeah, what is my aim? What is my purpose? Yeah, I'm choosing to go to work tomorrow. Why are you going to work? Why are you going to work? Hello? Why are you going to work?
Paycheck.
Huh?
Paycheck.
Paycheck.
Pay rent. Pay for cars. Fun.
Yeah. Okay. Earn some money so you can buy food, pay your rent, pay for your car and your car insurance, and then you need some doodads for your car. Yeah.
Wash the car.
Yeah, I've got to wash the car. Then you have to get a special vacuum cleaner to vacuum the car. Right? And a special squeegee brush to, you know, do the front of it. And a special something else to clean, you know, another part. Okay? But to think, you know, why do I go for work? Is it just for my paycheck? Are there other reasons why you go to work? You enjoy it? Okay, how many people enjoy their work? Good for you. Most audiences that don't have such a high percentage of people who enjoy their work. Okay. Do you ever think before you go to work, I'm going to work to benefit others? Yeah? Yeah, some people do that. So, you know, this can, when you look at your life as I'm choosing to go to work, okay, then you want your motivation to be something good, don't you? You know, because if you have to choose to go to work every day just to get that paycheck, at some point, you're going to run out of steam, okay? But if you choose to go to work because you feel like you can contribute to the welfare of other living beings and make their life happier, that gives you some other feeling of fulfillment, doesn't it? That the paycheck can't bring. So I think it can be very positive before you go to work each day, you know, to think I'm going to work to benefit other people. Because, you know, we live in this society where we're all interdependent. We all rely on each other so much. So when you go to work, you help the people in your company, your factory, whatever kind of work you do. You're interacting with other people. You're helping your colleagues. You're helping your clients or your customers or whatever. And to be aware of that, and use that as part of your motivation to go to work each day. I think it might transform how you felt about being at work. Don't you think? If you have that motivation, if I'm going to work to be of service, and you were aware throughout the day of how you can offer service to others, yeah, just even through small things, that could make your work a lot more fulfilling. And what it does is that motivation also enables you to create a totally different kind of karma by going to work. I know I'm supposed to talk about karma, so I know I need to mention the word at least once tonight. Okay. then I can talk about something else. But but you know, the kind of karma we create is dependent upon what our motivation is. Okay, so if you're going to work with the motivation to make money just for yourself, you create the karma of having that self-centered motivation. If you go to work with the motivation of, okay, I have to pay my bills, but I really want to be of service and benefit to others, then you create an entirely different kind of karma, which brings about a different kind of long-term result. Okay? So the kind of karma we create depends upon the kind of thought we have motivating what our action is. And so that's why it's important before we do something to stop and think about why we're doing it and deliberately generate a good motivation. Like before we started talking this evening, we stopped and generated a good motivation, didn't we? Okay, so this can be a tremendous practice in your life, actually, before you do things, to stop and think, why am I doing them, and to generate a constructive motivation. Yeah. So like every time you get in the car, you know how people just get in the car, unlock the car, get in the car, plunk yourself down, turn on the radio, turn on the ignition, space out, and zoom away. Okay? Instead of doing that, you know, open the door, sit down, and say, where am I going? Why am I going there? How can I improve the motivation I have of why I'm going there? And sometimes you may get in the car and ask yourself, where am I going? And the answer is, I don't have a clue. Because you're getting in the car just to, you know, drive. How many people get in the car just to drive when they feel restless and they don't know what to do? Come on. Come on.
I go for walks.
You go for a walk? Okay. Better for the environment, for your health, to go for walks. Okay? But, yeah. But often, you know, people just use the car as a way to distract themselves. Now, we give ourselves a lot of errands to do so we don't have to be with ourselves. But if we sat down and, where am I going? Well, I don't really know where I'm going. Well, why am I sitting in the car then? Maybe it's more important for me to think about what's going on in my life than to just cruise around. Well, where am I going? I'm going over, you know, to my mother's place. Why am I going there? And so to think, why am I going there? Am I still 40 years old bringing my laundry home? Not everybody's laughing. It might be true. Okay. Why am I going to see my mother? What kind of attitude am I bringing into my mother's house? Am I going to see my mother because I have to? Because otherwise she's going to call me up and say, where are you? Or am I going to my mother's house because of clinging attachment? Or am I going to my mother's house because it's a relationship that's valuable and I want to give her some joy? Now, think about it. And you might initially have one motivation. And then as you're thinking about it, you realize you can actually enhance and change your motivation. Yeah. So the answer may come out, well, I'm going to my mother's house because she's having a big family dinner and I have to go. No. I'm going to my mother's house because I'm choosing to go. Okay. Why am I choosing to go? Well, I'm afraid they're all going to be mad at me if I don't go. that a good reason for going? No. Okay, so at that moment, you might decide to get out of the car and not go. Or you might decide, well, it is, you know, there's a way that if I go, maybe I can bring some joy into these people's lives. Yeah. So instead of going because I feel obliged to go, maybe I can go with some love in my heart for these people and with an intention to talk with them about something that's meaningful in their lives and maybe be able to connect with them or maybe be able to help them in some way or give them some sense of value. So you change your motivation before you go. So these kinds of practices are very important, actually. They're important in terms of just the quality of our life, and they're important in terms of the karma that we create that, you know, that influences what we experience later on this life and in future lives. Okay, so taking the time to really make conscious choices and to generate good motivations for doing them. I do prison work. And if you get me going on that, I can tell stories all night. But I never had the intention to do prison work. But inmates started to write to me, and I don't really know how all of them have my address. But when you've taken the Bodhisattva vow and somebody asks for help, then you give it. So that's how I got involved in doing prison work. So one man that I've been writing to since maybe 98 or 99, he's serving a 20-year sentence for drug dealing. And in the correspondence, you know, I ask them questions and they tell me things about their life. And he was tracing back for me how he got involved in the drug business, because this guy very clearly has a good business mind. I mean, he should have been an MBA. That's not saying he would have been any more ethical. But he might have wound up in prison as a CEO anyway. Shorter sentence, of course. But he, you know, clearly is a bright guy that had some, you know, some business acumen. So he was tracing back how he got involved in that business. And he started telling me about what he calls SUDS, S-U-D-S, you know, seemingly unimportant decisions. Okay, SUDS, seemingly unimportant decisions. And so he was tracing it back to how one time when he was 13, you know, he was with some friends and they started smoking grass and then blah, 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 and, you know, built and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, eventually he's in prison for 20 years. But, you know, I thought there was an incredible amount of wisdom in what he did, because it was a seemingly unimportant decision at age 13. And then another seemingly unimportant decision at age 13 and a half. And another seemingly unimportant decision at age 14. And, you know, in our lives, we can make a whole bunch of seemingly unimportant decisions that actually have grave consequences for the rest of this life as well as for future lives. Because our decisions create karma. Our decisions are our motivations that propel us to think in a certain way, to speak in a certain way, to act in a certain way. Those mental, verbal, and physical actions are karma. And the karma, the actions, leave traces of energy on our mind stream. And those energy traces, what we call karmic seeds or karmic imprints, ripen in terms of what we experience. where we're, or what we're reborn as. What happens to us in our life, what our habitual patterns are, what kind of place we live in, who we meet, how we relate to them. Okay? So seemingly unimportant decisions, they're only seemingly unimportant. They can actually be quite important. So he wrote a lot about this, you know, seemingly unimportant decisions. And he started talking about what he calls choices and consequences. Okay? This is, in Buddhist parlance, karma and its effects. Okay? In his parlance, it was choices and consequences. And so, you know, by examining his life during the years he spent in prison, he really started looking at the choices he made in his life and what the results of those choices were for himself and for other people. And then, of course, as we start to do that, it makes us much more aware of when we're making choices, what choices we're making, why we choose to do things that we're doing. And that pulls us out of saying, I have to do this and I have to do that, because we're taking choice in our life and we're choosing this and choosing that. So we're being responsible and assuming the decision-making power in our lives when we become aware. So choices and consequences, and all those seemingly unimportant decisions. I mean, I look at my own life. One day in 1975, I made a seemingly unimportant decision to go to Bodhi Tree Bookstore one afternoon. As a result of that, I'm sitting here. Okay? Why? Because I went there. There was a flyer about two Tibetan lamas going to Lake Arrowhead to teach a 3-week meditation course. I went. That led me to Kopan, it led me to Ordain, blah, 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 and I'm here tonight. Okay. Quite incredible, isn't it, when you think about it? One flyer in a bookstore? But without that flyer in the bookstore, I wouldn't be here tonight. So those of you who put flyers up for Dharma events, it is not... You know, don't think that this is some unimportant activity you're doing when you're letting people know about Dharma events. It has very far-reaching consequences. Okay? So are you getting some idea of maybe a little bit different take on your life? How you can feel a little bit different about your life and what you're doing and what you choose to do. Feel maybe a little bit more empowered to think about our choices.